Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're discussing Matthew Tkachuk and the Nashville Predators. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Should the Predators involve themselves in the Matthew Tkachuk sweepstakes? And what are you comfortable giving up? If so, 615-737-1025. Fat Hog on the text line says, do you think Poile had an idea that this was going to come up and that's why he made no major moves during free agency? It's an interesting question. I mean, we've talked about it from this standpoint, Joe, of it does kind of feel like the Predators are maybe trying to add via trade to their top six. Now, I don't know that Matthew Tkachuk has just been the target the whole time. I mean, I guess we don't really know that the Predators are even interested, although I think they'd be crazy not to be interested in Matthew Tkachuk. But I don't know. Do you think that Poile has held off a free agency because he's had either Matthew Tkachuk or somebody else specific in mind via trade?
I don't know. I suppose he could have had an idea that this was coming. But I think when you're in that job, it's hard to have that all the eggs in one basket mindset, right? I mean, all I know, you know, he really wanted Pacioretty, but didn't answer his text in time. You know, I guess I'd be surprised if he's just been, this has been the sole focus the whole time, but I don't know. I mean, information does get shared sometimes, well in advance of information becoming public.
Well, I would have to think after Gaudreau leaves, like if you're a general manager around the league, you at least have to think about, okay, well, Gaudreau just left. Like, what are the chances that Matthew Tkachuk's going to sign back there? Probably not high. So it doesn't mean that all your eggs are in the basket there necessarily, but you at least start thinking about, huh, I wonder if Matthew Tkachuk is going to – like, I'd be making a phone call to Calgary at that point as when Johnny Gaudreau leaves. That's certainly what I'd be doing. So I think that's probably what has happened. There's been probably a lot of people checking in on Matthew Tkachuk. Mike from Montana on the text line, this is a great text, says, the number one problem with Poile's competitive rebuild has been where will we get the talent to close the gap with the top teams? Even if the price is steep, no prospect we trade has that potential of a 24-year-old Matthew Tkachuk has right now. Poile, make the deal in all capital letters. That's the thing. Like, I was talking with somebody on this about on Twitter yesterday, and they said to me, like, you can't give up something like a Yaroslav Askarov or a Luke Evangelista based on what they could be heading into the NHL unless you know for sure. And I was like, well, what do you think Luke Evangelista is going to turn into that's better than a 104-point player at the age of 24? Like, Luke Evangelista, I really like. I talked about it last week. He looks really good. I think there's a chance that the Predators have found something with him. So he very well may come up to the NHL, and he may be, you know, a 70, 75, 80-point player at some point throughout his career. I don't think he's going to come up and immediately be that, but at some point he may grow into that. I don't know. I don't know what type of an NHL player he's going to be. I got pretty good confidence he's probably not going to be Matthew Tkachuk. Like, that's a pretty high bar. Matthew Tkachuk's 24 years old. He put up 104 points. And it's not just the offense. Like, the offense is great and it's good enough by itself, but it's the way that he plays the game. He's super physical. He's a pain in the butt. Like, he's exactly what the Predators want in terms of the way that he plays the game. And he's got elite offensive skills to go along with it. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. Like, you go after this guy. I don't care what the cost is, other than, like, you don't want to give up your entire roster. I understand that, but, you know, everybody to me is on the table outside of Josi and Forsberg, and that's because they have no movement clause.
They can't be on the table.
Right.
But they shouldn't be, but obviously. No. But Austin from Clarksville is asking to rank the top 5 to 10 prospects. I mean, I couldn't possibly get you to 10 off the top of my head, but.
Well, some of it depends on who you consider to be a prospect. Like, is Philip Tomasino still a prospect? And he's played 1 year in the league. So he would be in their top five if you consider it that way. Like, Luke Evangelista is in their top five. Yaroslav Askarov is unquestionably their number one prospect. Like, he is. He's the number one prospect. They are very light on defense. Luke Prokop is a good prospect. I don't know that he's a guaranteed NHL everyday player prospect, but he's a good prospect. They don't have a lot on defense. We've talked about that. I mean, the cupboard is pretty bare back there. Zach LaRue is a really good prospect they got in the first round a couple years ago. You know, Svechkov they got in the first round a couple years ago. He's over in the KHL right now, and he's under contract, so you didn't get to see him at development camp. Like, they have some good prospects. Do they have any super elite prospects outside of Askarov? Probably not. Like, Evangelista, he may turn into a quote-unquote elite player, but I'm not willing to go there yet with them.
Right. I mean, he seems to be, you know, the next name after Askarov, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him be discussed in a situation like this. But Askarov is the, again, that to me is, if you're willing to go there, then that could be the thing that tips it. But we'll see. I'd like to know what you would send Calgary's way.
I don't know. You know, I think this is a tough decision to kind of make when it comes to picking up a guy like Matthew. So when I think of picking up Matthew, I'm thinking of, okay, it is going to take a lot of, you know, guys off the top of our cap that cost a lot of money. And I think someone like a Granlund or a Johansson would make sense. I really like the thought of maybe moving on from a guy like a Granlund, maybe, because the, you know, he's been more of a winger, you know, he's that dual threat that we have, that Swiss Army knife. But Matthew Tkachuk, he's so young. Guys, he's my age, and he's putting up 104 points in the NHL. Yep. And, you know, David Poile doesn't like long contracts, but this guy could be something that stays long-term possibly. You know, in my opinion, I think he goes somewhere else possibly. I don't think David Poile is going to touch this really, but hey, you never know. So, but.
Well, he's a proven commodity. Like, you're not wondering what you're getting in Matthew Tkachuk if you make the deal. Like, you know what he is. Now, is he going to put up 100 points every year? I don't know. Maybe not, but I've seen enough of him play to know that he's a point per game guy. Like, he's an 85, 95, 100 point guy on a yearly basis.
He's also something Nashville's never had, guys. You know, go back to the days when we had a guy like Paul Kariya. You know, that's probably a good similar, you know, style, you know, maybe not as physical, but when it comes to adding Tkachuk, you know, I think he's going to bring something, like I just said, that we've never really seen before. And, you know, we are missing someone on the top six, and that's going to be something that Nashville has to consider, is who can we add. And if Matthew's going to be happy in Nashville, great, then let's make it happen. So I don't know. Hey, maybe he goes to Ottawa. You know, Ottawa's been adding a lot lately, and they could trade around some guys.
Maybe.
I think Tkachuk's going to end up in his home country one way or the other here. But I'm that's interesting that you don't think that Poile's going to touch this. I don't know. I'm not in Poile's office right now, but I can't imagine, like what would be the reasoning for not trying here?
I mean, the thing is, I don't know. Like, the whole long-term thing, in my opinion, just watching this team for as long as I have, I just don't know if that is something that is going to entertain him. Like, I think he's entertained by, you know, his talent and what he can offer for us. But, you know, cost effectiveness and where we are with our cap, like, I don't know if he wants to invest in that unless he's drafted that guy. That's just what history tells me. But, you know, I would love him to be bold and go for this. Absolutely. I'm not saying that it can't happen, Joe. But, you know, in my opinion, at the end of the day, maybe Poile doesn't do this. So we'll see. You know, I don't know.
Joe, the interesting part is, you know, if you get this done, there's going to have to be cap going back the other way. Now, maybe it is Granlund. I could see that. You know, people keep throwing out Johansson on the text line. I don't see Calgary doing that. I could be wrong. But Calgary in their situation right now, like, maybe you just view it as, okay, well, by the time we're ready to compete again, his contract will be up. And so maybe Calgary's more willing to take on the contract because of that, because they know that they're about to go into a rebuild. You know, Johansson's got 3 years left at $8 million a year. I mean, that's a pretty significant investment in cap going back Calgary's way, where if you're trading Tkachuk, like you're trying to rebuild at that point. Now you still have to spend money and you've got to get to the cap floor and all this other stuff. And they still have some good players there. So maybe they don't want to go into full rebuild. Like maybe they're committed to trying to make the playoffs. I don't know, but I don't know that I see them taking Johansson back, especially if the Predators aren't retaining any salary. Like I'd be surprised if that happened.
Yeah. I can't see it. I mean, again, I guess it's like bring him back home and, you know, there's something for the fans to watch, I guess. You're still trying to get people in your building, but then again, how much of a draw is he? Yeah, that one would surprise me. I've kind of just dismissed Johansson, Duchesne, along with, you know, the other two, you know, Josi Forsberg as guys who could be part of this. But Granlund is a guy who, I could see that being part of this. Certainly Tomasino. You go up and down the lines, you know. What about Tomasino and Janot? You know, if Calgary's trying to, like, want to build up the young forwards, there's a couple of young ones who could be real nice players for them for a long time and be good players once they're on the other side of this.
Yeah.
That would hurt if you're the Preds. I mean, you still, like, have a very limited number of forwards that are really making an impact for you right now, but it's Matthew Tkachuk.
There's, to me, and we'll probably never know this if it doesn't happen, but if they're not in on it, to me, that's inexcusable. Like, you've got to at least entertain it if you're David Poile and the Predators. Now, maybe the price ends up being something that you're just not comfortable parting with. And if that's the case, it is what it is. But if they don't even entertain this, I think that's an asinine decision. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a text that says, you honestly believe the Preds are a Matthew Tkachuk away from contending for the Stanley Cup? You're dreaming. He maybe gets you out of the first round. That's it. Sorry, but to trade the pieces that you and the fans are suggesting would be ridiculous. It's coming from a texter on the text line.
We're up against the brick, or I'd scream at that. I don't know about contending for the Stanley Cup. Again, we laid it out. I think Robbie and I both agree on this, that I think you could make a case if, like, the current, you know, the regulars on the roster aren't completely shipped out of town for this, that this could be the second best team in the West potentially with him. And of course, there's a lot that goes into that. Duchesne going to have another big year? Forsberg, you know, a lot of things that go into that. But I feel good about that. Now, better than Colorado, able to beat Colorado in a series, I still wouldn't pick that. But these pieces that you're talking about not holding on to that would be ridiculous to give up, where do they get you in 2-3 years? Yeah. I mean, let's look at the long-term situation here. Like, you've got to have great players to do anything, and he is a great player.
One of the things that drives me nuts in sports is people fall way too in love with prospects who have never done a damn thing, never done a thing at the NHL level. They fall way too in love. And look, I'm not saying that you should be just flippant and trade away your prospects all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But I will take the proven commodity over potential every single time.
Especially when it's 24 years old.
Yeah. I get it. You don't want to trade all your prospects. I'm not advocating that the Predators should do that. But if Luke Evangelista is part of a package right now that gets me Matthew Tkachuk, I do it, and I don't think twice about it. Like, it is what it is if you're the Predators. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Coming up at 7:30, we'll get to the Vols later today at SEC Media Days. Looking forward to that. Josh Heupel scheduled to speak around 9:30 Central Time this morning, so we'll have that for you later in the show as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studios on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October the 10th. Be calling the number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October 10th. 615-737-1025. We are discussing Matthew Tkachuk. Looks like he is going to be made available from the Calgary Flames. He apparently, the Predators are on whatever list that he's put out there of teams that I guess he'd be interested in signing a long-term deal with. What should the Predators do to make this happen? What are you comfortable giving up if you're the Nashville Predators in order to make this happen? I got a texter that says, quote, "The guy that said it doesn't make Nashville a contender is an imbecile. I remember when Nashville made it to the Stanley Cup final with Mike freaking Fisher as the number one center. Just depends on how guys plays together and who gets hot." Not quick amendment. Ryan Johansson was number one center, but I hear what you're saying. End of the day, I see a lot of parallels to the Tkachuk situation in the NHL and the Juan Soto situation in MLB. Young studs in their respective sport. Tkachuk acquisition isn't giving up your future. He is the future and can easily give you 8 solid years as a player.
Quick amendment to that. Colton Sissons was actually the number one center when they got to the Stanley Cup final. So
he was.
But look, the unknown is undefeated is I love that phrase, and it's so true about, well, it'll happen on the football field this year. The first time Tannehill has a bad game, certainly Malik Willis could be better than him. And of course, that wouldn't be true. But before you actually see a player at the highest level, that player is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like some of the idiot media people in town who wrote about Tolvin a few years ago. I forget their names, but, you know, I mean, it's this happens all the time.
It does. Now, there is a logical question here that you got to sort out if you're the Predators. Because if you make this happen and you trade for him, you're going to have Matthew Tkachuk. I don't know what his contract's going to look like, but my guess is it's probably somewhere in the $9.5 million range. So you're going to have Tkachuk making $9.5 million, roughly. Forsberg making $8.5 million. Johansson and Duchesne making $8 million apiece. I mean, that's 4 guys with just massive numbers that they're making with their contracts at the forward position. Then you throw in Yossi at 9. I mean, there's guys making money left and right on this team. You're going to have to clear some money out and clear some space out. How do you do it? Like, who is going back to Calgary? Or can you work out a trade with another team to take on some salary? Like, how do you clear out the money to make it work? Because, you know, David Poile went on the DDC last week before free agency began and talked about how, you know, a multi-year contract probably wouldn't work because you're trying to, the way you view the future with Jeannot and some of these other guys coming up, it probably wasn't in the card. To me, that totally changes if Matthew Tkachuk is a part of the discussion. I mean, you're probably more willing to move on from some other younger guys if you're bringing in Matthew Tkachuk. But how do you make the money work? That's the question you got to figure out if you're David Poile and the Predators. And how do you do it with some huge contracts on the books, and two specifically with Johansson and Duchesne, that despite how well they played last year, and they did, they played really well, I still have a hard time believing that you'd be able to move on from those two contracts. So if you can't do it for those two, and Forsberg has a no trade clause and you don't want to do it with him anyway, how are you moving the money? I think that's a legitimate question.
Well, yeah. And I think the way it works out is, again, more in the middle tier, good role players that you don't want to say goodbye to, but
this is where Granlund could be in some trouble.
Yeah. Granlund. And I guess from the Flames perspective, like, you know, I would think the Flames would have to be thinking in terms of, okay, we want someone who 2-3 years from now can still be a really good player for us, right? The way things are getting stripped down. So it's not a ton of salary going back, but, like, that's where, as you know, to me, could be very interesting to them, for example. And, look, if you're the Preds, although much has been understandably made of those, especially the Duchesne and Johansson deals, I mean, if you're going to bring in Tkachuk in the short term, I think you want Johansson and Duchesne and all those guys together, and you want to see what that could be. You're going to be a super top heavy team if this works out, but that's okay. You know what, you're going to need some you know, some young, probably more young role players than you expected to lean on to come in and help out next season. But my gosh, you could be scary as hell up top.
You could be. And it's also a thing to keep in mind is like clearing the money part of it. You're going to have to do it somehow, some way. It doesn't necessarily have to be with Calgary. Like you could do three team trade, but you could also like, you know, look at the Lightning right now. They're like $7 million over the cap. Like you can be over the cap after this trade goes through. You just have to get under the cap by the time the next season begins. So, you know, you can be 10% over the cap right now in the off season. You've just got to find a way to weed it back down. So it's also one of those things where, like, again, I don't know what Calgary is looking for. Like you could want to send Granlund back, but they could look at you and say, well, what good does he do us? I don't want Granlund right now because we're going through, we're going to have to strip this whole thing down and start to rebuild. Like, I don't want Granlund. I don't want that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be through Calgary that you clear the money either.
Right. And it may require a third team for that very reason, because if you're Calgary, like you said earlier, they can take on salary. You know, they're clearing plenty of salary right now, but for their, I mean, they're going to want probably younger players and prospects and picks and things like that. So for you to make it work with your cap, you may have to involve someone else. And of course, there's always a possibility. Maybe the Preds are just third team in this and they can at least, you know, get like an assist.
Yeah.
They can assist the Blues in getting Matthew Tkachuk. That'd be exciting.
Facilitate the Stars signing Tkachuk. Be good.
There you go.
Good stuff. Matt in Bardstown on the text line says, everything's on the table. That being said, if this gets done without touching the top five forwards or Askarov, then Poile would win me back as a fan. LOL. This coming from Matt from Bardstown. Look, if Poile pulls this off and the price isn't like extremely exorbitant, there will be some detractors. Like, because when you start giving up prospects, there are people that just love these prospects, and I get it. So people are going to be mad either way, some people. But if he gets this done and they don't have to give up an absolute just ridiculous sum in order to do it, there could be a different tune about David Poile around here.
That would be something. That would be something. And real quick on the prospect thing, like, just let's go back 3 years and let's say there was a big trade possibility. If you're one of the Preds fans who's like, you can't touch these guys, imagine back then someone mentions Ellie Tolvanen. Oh my God, hands off, get away from him.
Which is how you're it was.
Touch it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it was. There's a great example of like, you just don't know what guys are going to become at the highest level. We do know what this guy is at the highest level.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Matthew Tkachuk discussion coming up next hour. Coming up next, we'll get into SEC Media Days. The Vols down in Atlanta today. What do we expect from Josh Heupel and company heading into this season? And what do we think is going to be the topic of conversation down there today with Tennessee? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back again, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We've got the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45 with Joe Rex Road, Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into the latest on all things NFL with him, including the Deshaun Watson case. And it looks like Jimmy G now has permission to seek trades as well. So we'll get to all that and more coming up with Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. Joe, it is SEC Media Days, the final day of SEC Media Days down in Atlanta. By the way, our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. That's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Josh Heupel and company down in Atlanta today. I believe it's Josh Heupel, Trayvon Flowers, Cedric Tillman, and Hendon Hooker, the representatives down in Atlanta for Tennessee today at SEC Media Days. What do you expect out of Heupel and company down there today? And if you're a Tennessee fan, what do you want to hear from these guys heading into what is going to be, I think, a pretty highly anticipated season for this Tennessee team?
You know, I think the Tennessee fan who has some recent memory of getting overexcited for things and then getting disappointed probably wants to hear like nothing remotely saucy today.
Oh yeah.
But maybe I'm sure some Tennessee fans want to hear, you know, some boastful comments or some declarations of coming after you, Georgia.
Cedric Tillman guaranteeing victory over Alabama.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a lot of fun, but I think if I'm a Tennessee fan, I want as little hype as possible. Like I want to be excited, you know, deep inside, and you want to see respect. Like I'm sure you'd love to see like the media vote come out with Tennessee coming in second, but you know what? Maybe you don't want that. Maybe it's better if that doesn't happen and Michelle's Cats are picked second. It's going to be one of the two, I think. Because it just, what does it really do for you to have hype? I mean, it's a constant discussion all year long on social media. These fan bases are going at each other all year long. But what does it really do for you and your team to have that hype and build up? I say avoid that. Duck. Stay under the radar as much as possible, and maybe your team has a better season on the field.
Well, there's one thing about this team that is really holding me back from having real high expectations. It's the defense. Like I don't have a ton of confidence that this defense is going to be very good this year for Tennessee. So we've talked about the offense, like Hendon Hooker should be really good. There's a lot to feel good about on the offensive side of things. Although I will say the offensive line is somewhat concerning to me heading into the season, but mostly you feel pretty good about this Tennessee offense. The defense is what scares me if I'm a Vols fan. And that's why, like, you know, the 8-4, 9-3 discussion that's out there with Tennessee right now, I'm always like, eventually you're going to have to stop somebody. And look, the last time I saw that Tennessee defense, I was there in person at Nissan Stadium. I know you were too. And as Nick Saban says, I mean, it was like bleep through a tin horn, man. They could not stop them. Could not stop Purdue. Didn't matter what they did out there. And, you know, obviously Alante Taylor wasn't playing in that game. But guess what? Alante Taylor's not going to be playing in any game for Tennessee this year, and neither is Theo Jackson. So there are some pieces up front on the pass rush that I feel okay about. I mean, Tim Banks, I think, is a good coach. So, you know, it could work out to where the defense isn't like a gigantic weak spot for this team. But to me, like, that's what I'm paying attention to for Josh Heupel. Because quite honestly, like, I don't think Josh Heupel is going to say a ton today. But I am interested to see what his thoughts are on how far the defense has come along, because that's a major point of concern this year.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And I think we're going to find out more about Tim Banks for sure. I think overall it was a very impressive debut. When you think about they were up there with the national league, they were leading the nation most of the year for tackles for loss. They were making plays. They were a little bit of a feast or famine kind of defense where they're aggressive. You know, they're going to come after the quarterback. They're going to stack the box, but also, you know, they gave up too many big plays and they really got exposed against the best teams. You know, Taylor wasn't on the field, but Purdue's best receiver also wasn't either. And that sure didn't seem to matter. So
it did not.
I think that there's some individuals, especially I think up front, some young guys who can, you know, give them a chance to be better there. But they also lose. One thing about last year's team is they had some of those veterans, those fifth-year guys, you know, Matthew Butler and those guys who sometimes you see first year of the new coach, and obviously Rodney Garner is a guy who probably is the most respected, you know, position coach on the staff. They loved him. It made a big difference. But now you lose some of those older guys. You got to count on some younger guys up front. I think they got some talent there, without question. You know, they're going to need Barron and Young to be great off the edge. And they're excited, you know, about their safeties this year. I do. And when you have corner questions in the SEC, ooh,
That's not good.
It's not really where you want to be. So it all adds up to me. I mean, everything could break their way and they could be better than expected, but I think it just comes down to when they play the best team. And I even look at Pittsburgh the same way. I mean, Pittsburgh has a really good quarterback who has transferred in from USC. That's a huge game early in the year on the road. ACC champ, you know. I think that and the top SEC games, the Vols need to probably get close to 40 points in those games to win them. But I think that they can. And maybe not in all of them, but in enough of them to have a really good year.
So we'll have Josh Heupel later in the show coming up live from SEC Media Days. Looking forward to that around 9:30, I believe, is when he's scheduled to speak. So we'll try to get as much of that live as we can here on the program. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this real quickly, because there is a comment that Clark Lee has thrown out there the other day at SEC Media Days that people are just running with on social media. And that is, you know, and this is, by the way, it's not the first time Clark Lee said this. He said this with us here on the show before, but he did say that the goal is for Vanderbilt to be the best football program in America, and that he knows that they will be the best football program in America one day. And that has people just losing it on social media. What do you think of that Clark Lee's words and the reaction to it that we've seen?
Well, MSN.com headline, College Football World Reacts to Vanderbilt Coach's Delusional Quote. So this is one of those things where, first of all, if you're Vanderbilt and you're Clark Lee and you can get this kind of reaction, it's not bad, because it is hard to get attention. And in a week like this, there's a lot more attention going to a whole bunch of other programs in your league. So now, and I don't think Clark Lee did it for that purpose, but it is. I mean, there's a lot of reaction to that quote. In fact, of course, he went on Jim Rome yesterday and talked about it and reiterated it. So first of all, I don't need to speak for Clark Lee, but like you said, he has talked about this. Now, Vanderbilt has talked a lot about best development program in the country. And they talk a lot about it is more than just football, right? I mean, Vanderbilt Educate.
They're talking academics. They're talking facilities now. I mean, there's more that goes into it, but yeah.
So I think from Clark Lee's perspective, you can be, quote, the best program in the country and not be 12-0 and winning the national championship. Now, a lot of people would be like, Alabama beat you by 3 touchdowns. How are you the best program in the country? Yeah. But look, there is more to it from Clark Lee, and that's how he's got to recruit to that. I mean, that's got to be front and center of what he's recruiting to. Without question, I thought he had a really interesting comment that I thought was a great point the other day about NIL. And I've said this phrase many times, that this is for some people, this is the time period for your highest earning potential. And so you got to let them make money when they can. Most of these guys are not going to make a ton of money in professional, you know, football. And his point was, and I'm paraphrasing, if this is their highest earning potential time period, then we have failed them. And that's a great point by him. I think maybe you change it a little bit and say in athletics, right?
Yeah.
But look, that's they have a lot of resources in, like, you're going to have a great career in whatever you want to do after Vanderbilt. But when we talk about SEC Media Days and football media and everything, people are going to be like, you went 7-5? How are you the best program in the country? So it's
Well, I can tell you.
It's kind of funny to see it play out.
Tennessee fans are having some fun with that one. There's
I can't imagine that on
Twitter about that. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
I'm here with my family. I'm here with my family.
I spent last night in the arms of...
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can check out the Rex Rant every morning at 7:45. Our good friend Brian Kelly bringing us back in there with his rendition of his beautiful Foghorn Leghorn Southern accent that really sadly the other day, Joe, went away. Not much of that from Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I figured he'd disappoint us. He should have just gone, I say, we're going to win the West this year. But he didn't do it.
Rex Road, your rant of the day.
Well, I've pivoted today.
Okay.
The Matthew Tkachuk discussion got the text line just popping today. And so I'm going to rant about a text we got.
Okay.
Benjamin, my friend. And let me read this from Benjamin. It's very simple. It's not like, it's not overly aggressive, but let me just read this. Quote, Poile doesn't get this done. No shot. You might be baffled, but Poile has shown he's fine being in the middle, end quote. So to that, I am now going to read you a list of transactions.
Okay.
June 2016, David Poile stuns everyone, sends Shea Weber to Montreal for PK Subban. June 2017, this is right after a Stanley Cup final run, Poile signs Nick Bonino, Scott Hartnell, two not super young forwards to bolster his team. July 2017, Victor Arvidsson, 7-year deal, Ryan Johansson, 8-year deal. November 2017, Poile sends Samuel Girard, Vladislav Kamenev, and a second-round pick to get Kyle Turris. Whew.
Oh boy.
February 2018, Mike Fisher comes back for a swan song for an encore. February 2018, Poile sends a second and a fourth and Victor Edsel to Chicago for Ryan freaking Hartman. August 2018, Ryan Ellis, 8-year deal. February 2019, Poile sends a second-round pick to New Jersey for Brian Boyle. He sends Kevin Fiala to Minnesota for Mikael Granlund. He sends Ryan Hartman and a fourth-round pick to Philly for Wayne Simmonds.
Oh, boy.
June 2019, PK Subban traded to New Jersey for Jeremy Davis, Steven Santini. Gets 2 seconds back, by the way. And then Matt Duchene is signed to a 7-year deal. The reason I read all these transactions is there are plenty of fair criticisms of David Poile, without question.
Oh, yeah.
And frankly, the big criticism would be that I just read to you, there's some bad choices, some damaging moves for the Preds, okay? But if you follow this team, how could you come away with the conclusion that he's fine being in the middle? Those moves are overstepping to try to go for the cup. I mean, there's no other way to see them, right?
Yes. Now, they have put you in a place where you're in the middle and it's hard to get out. But that doesn't mean that he's fine with being there.
Right. Like, I mean, you have to have just started following this team the last couple of years to come away with, oh, Poile just does stuff to stay in the middle. Now, look, if he doesn't go after Tkachuk right now and he's like, well, we signed Forsberg, got McDonough. Okay, yeah, this team can make the playoffs. And you know what? Then you can be mad about that, and he deserves to be criticized for that. But the biggest issue with the Preds getting to where they started to go in 2019 and beyond is that he had all these go-for-it moves that didn't work out. Now, this could also, by the way, be an argument against going after Tkachuk right now. But I wouldn't look at it that way. I mean, to me, just because a go-for-it move was bad or a choice was bad before, if you're still the GM of the team, you know, you got to keep trying. And I just don't see how David Poile looks at this like, well, I'm just at some point I'm going to retire. I just hope we stay right around the middle and be okay. I leave him in decent shape. See you later, everybody. I'm happy with that. I don't think that's the case. I think David Poile would like his name on the freaking Stanley Cup. And these moves tell you that he has absolutely thrown his chips on the table more than once. Will he again? I don't know. But if he doesn't, it's not that because he has a history of just, quote, happy to be in the middle.
I agree 100%. Look, I think sometimes the criticism has been probably the other way of you're trying too hard to get back to being a contender. And look, let's think about the main criticism that we've seen from fans this offseason. It's, well, they don't want to tear it down and rebuild. Well, he doesn't want to tear it down and rebuild because he didn't want to sit there for 3 or 4 years and be awful because he wants to win a Stanley Cup. Like, that's what he wants to do. Now, is that the right approach? We'll see. I'll say this. If they get Matthew Tkachuk, I feel a little bit different about the trajectory of this team as they move forward here. But, look, David Poile, as you said, you can criticize a lot of things. There's a lot of moves that he's made. I mean, heck, the most recent move that he made was Kevin Lankinen. And I just kind of stood there and I was like, what is that? What sense does that make with this team? So certainly there's plenty to criticize with David Poile, but I can tell you from being around him for a long time, he has no interest in being in the middle. He'd like to go win a Stanley Cup. I still wonder, like, had they won in 2017, if he'd have just said, all right, that's it, I'm done. Like, that's why he's still doing what he's doing. He wants to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm sure he enjoys his job.
Sure.
So you got a job, you enjoy your job, keep doing your job. But it's the chase of that. It's the pursuit of that. I mean, it's the winningest GM, but a guy who's, you know, who has not won one and has been to one cup final. So now, you know, built a team in Washington essentially that got to one as well, but he had been fired by then. So it's the pursuit of that. And if you're him, I just don't know how you could look at this situation and not try everything you can try to make it happen, because I personally just don't see a way out of the middle unless there's something dramatic. And this is dramatic.
This is dramatic. And you know, look, it's not like this is some surprise with Matthew Tkachuk either. Like, you bring up the risk moving forward. And look, there's always a risk when you sign somebody to a long-term deal. I feel pretty darn good about Matthew Tkachuk moving forward. Like, he's 24 years old. He just put up 104 points. It's not like this came out of nowhere. He's been a productive player from the moment he set foot in the league. I mean, his first year, he put up 48 points, 13 goals, 35 assists as a rookie. You know, that's hard to do in today's game. So, you know, he was a first-round pick. He was number 6 overall in 2016. Like, this is what he was expected to be, and this is what he is. So, like, to me, you know, you want to talk about the risks. I think it's more of a risk to go get PK Subban from Shea Weber. I think it's more of a risk to go get Ryan Johansson from Seth Jones. Like, you know, without knowing what you would give up to get Matthew Tkachuk, whatever that is, the player itself, I don't think there's much risk at all, other than, like, you just worry about injury at some point. But the guy's going to be a good player for the next 8 years. I have no doubt about that. He's got the stuff.
Right. So the two questions are, what does it make you? Like, how good are you? I mean, what are you giving up of your current players? And then also, are you going, you know, down the road, is Askarov going to be, if he's part of it, is he going to be one of the great goaltenders? Is Luke Evangelista going to be a superstar or whatever? But if the first question is in your favor, if you believe that, then you don't worry about the second question, in my opinion.
This has been the Rex Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things in the NFL heading into training camp opening up next week. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.